And we're back at the Sheldon Concert Hall in St. Louis, Missouri. And this hour, we're talking about gateway moments. And sometimes you don't find your gateway, it finds you. Our next story is about three brothers, Sam, Seth, and Adam Koster. And they develop video games for a living. Now, three siblings working together might kind of sound like a recipe for disaster, but these three really make it work. They kind of had to, because the stakes for their last game were life or death.
We all took really divergent paths to get into video games.
Butterscotch
shenanigans. Adam's a PhD in microbiology. I went to law school and I'm a chartered financial analyst, and Sam went to school for psychology. And this just kind of happened organically.
The first game that we made that actually managed to get us both some eyeballs and some revenue was called Talphite 2, The Monocle of Destiny. So you run around, and the whole theme of the game is that you're this elderly man who is wormholed into an alternate dimension, and you have a monocle, and it can fire animals out of it. Our marketing line was shoot animals out of your face. The praise was great, the reviews were very, very good, but the game was a total financial failure. Probably the biggest hit to our overall
productivity,
our consideration of whether or not butterscotch was actually going to be a thing was when I started just getting really tired. And then I started waking up with these full-blown night sweats. It was like someone just dumped a whole bucket of water on me while I was sleeping. Finally, I made an appointment at an infectious disease clinic. I had Googled a bunch, gone on WebMD, decided I had Lyme disease. So I went in and I said, hey, you know, pretty sure it's just Lyme disease. And I took off my shirt, and the PA, the physician's assistant who was seeing me, I mean, her eyes got big, and she was like, I'm going to go get the doctor real quick. And he comes running in and cops a feel on my lat, and he steps back and he goes, how old are you? And I said, 23. And he goes, well, pretty sure that's cancer.
Sam called me from his car on a video call using Google Hangouts and told me. And I was like, okay, well, whatever we got to do, we'll do it.
Crashlands is an action crafting RPG that is set in a world of outlandish technology and magic. The goal with Crashlands was always to create an experience that people could fall into such a degree that the world went away. And then the game itself was what I would have wanted at that moment that the diagnosis hit, and then the following, you know, months. This big, beautiful adventure where the world's crazy and everything's exciting and weird and just good.
Welcome with me, please, Sam Koster. So Crashlands turned out to be a really big hit.
Yeah, it went a little gangbusters. We thought it was going to go well, but we got Editor's Choice on iTunes and sold over 370,000 copies in the last year.
Congratulations. So. And you're in remission too, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah.
So, yes. And that must feel pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was designing the game therapeutic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I did all the art for the game, and a lot of it actually was done in either a hospital bed or a chemo chair with that little tiny mouse. And being able to escape into that, into the work in a lot of ways. And then while the design side is still just work in an interesting sense, it's thinking, but it's a lot of thinking about how a player is going to react and what a player is going to feel. I do think it is really therapeutic to actually be working toward creating a lot of joy for someone else while you're going through that sort of infinite duress period.
Mm-hmm. And was playing the game itself, because you were wearing two hats. You were mm-hmm. both designing the game and thinking about, and that was work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were times when you'd just be playing the game for fun. Which was more therapeutic?
I think the biggest ones were actually when I would be in the hospital, and my favorite example is Seth called and he was like, you know, how you doing? You want me to come by tonight? Because I was trapped in the hospital getting this high dose chemotherapy drug.
And I said, no, but I would like you to finish programming the gardening mechanic if you could. Because I really want to build a garden in here. And just a few hours later, there's a new build, and I get to pull it down and go and do this thing, right? And as a game developer, it's actually not that often that you get to be surprised by the stuff that you design because you made it. You can't tickle yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so I've never been able to have that first time experience playing this thing. But I've gotten to see other people do it, and I've gotten little glimpses of it like that. Yeah.
Have you talked with other people, other cancer patients who've played the game, and have they found it to be a refuge, therapeutic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had this guy named James from the UK. He was one of our beta testers, actually. He was going through chemotherapy, and he sent me a note, and he said, I was thrown up from chemotherapy today, but all I could think about was getting back to Crashlands. Gotta harvest more of those trees. So I think, yeah, we had people who have PTSD who have written into us. Basically, anybody who's had a period of their life, which is everybody, where things aren't going right. We often talk in the studio about how the real purpose of games is to manufacture achievement for people. Mm.
So it seems to me that video games as a medium are really coming of age, and we've watched it happen. So do you feel like how we think about games is changing? Are we learning to take them more seriously?
I think we're starting to figure out kind of what they are. And I think that's
what
been
are
the difficult. I don't know. It's I think Jesse Schell, who runs a studio called Schell Games, defines them as a machine that interacts with the mind to manufacture joy.
Oh, I love that.
And I think, of course, you can play video games too much. Most people's hobbies are something that you can do too much. And I think video games are a media category that, of course, you can overdo, just like Netflix or public radio. I don't know if that's possible.
Not possible.
Not at all.
It's
Sorry.
Not that
I
much
take,
fun.
Yeah, I take it back. But yeah, so I do think we're starting to understand what they are, and I do think there's been plenty of people trying to push the art form, but the reality is that game dev is a weird thing in that it's nearly every single discipline sort of shoved together in its one package. Crashlands has a 50,000 word written narrative in it. It has cinematography when we decide we need to move the camera around, do stuff with it. Tons of user experience design and all sorts of weird psychology going on, where we're essentially combining music, written art, and graphical art in this really incredible way with programming to create an experience that ideally is very compelling and something that lets people escape enough.
So are you saying that developing a game or creating a game is almost a way of thinking, way of approaching the world?
Correct. And you get to give that to people. And I think that's one of the really powerful ways of doing it. And you can force people to do things that they wouldn't want to do. Like there's a game called The Walking Dead. And one of the things that happens, someone gets their leg caught in a bear trap. You have to choose, okay, are we going to leave this person while the zombies are coming? Or I have an axe in my hand. So am I going to chop off this leg? But what they do, and this is the critical point about games, is that they don't just let you say, chop off the leg. You have to click. Every click is a swing.
Oh!
Right? You feel it. You're like, I kind of feel like I know what it's like to hack a man's leg off with an axe now. I'm going to try to avoid those situations. So I think you can take these experiences to this next level by making people participate viscerally.
So what are you working on next? What's next for Sam Koster?
So our big thing over the last year with the success of Crashlands was actually growing the studio. So that's sort of been our big focus. We just hired 4 people, so it's no longer just the 3 of us brothers working in an apartment. It's now 7 people working in a basement. So we're one level up. But we actually have 2 games in the works right now. I can't say much about them. One's a big one and one's a small one, so hopefully you'll see one out by us in 4 to 6 months, and then another one in a year and a half or 2.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking with us. Sam Koster, everybody.